Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, November 28th, 3:30 p.m. We're at Vets Hall. This is a special meeting of the Citizens Finance Advisory Committee, and I will call this meeting to order. We do have a quorum present. Two members were excused, and possibly the third member will show up. So we have a quorum. Let's do the Pledge of Allegiance quickly. If all rise, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, so first off, we have any committee members' announcements and presentations. And actually, we have a member that may have to depart at 4:15, John Martin, so I'll just make that announcement. Secondarily, I have passed out handouts. Jennifer, I have one for you, and I have an extra one. The handouts are basically the background information on the Measure Q. And that was also included in an agenda item from, I think it was maybe 2012, if I'm not mistaken. So if somebody wants to look at this, but you guys have all seen it before, but we have some newer members that may not have even been here in 2006. So I compiled that information from that staff report, sent it out electronically maybe yesterday, and provided copies so that we have it. Hopefully you'll have time, if you haven't already, to review it and so that you understand what the history of Measure Q is, as well as the information Jennifer Calloway has provided for our staff report. So that's just an FYI, and if you need copies of that, we have them. Any comments on those or anything? Was that helpful, hopefully?
Yes, I do, and thank you very much. Couple comments, clarification. The documents were not, in my opinion, not necessarily consistent with what the intent was and what was voted on and what was even on the ballot. And I'm not sure which order they go in, but the resolution talks about improve the fire department, enhance public safety, which is a pretty generic term, street maintenance, storm drain maintenance. Okay, storm drain issues seem to have been lost along the way, in my opinion. I'm not finding much, even something that says storm drains are all well and good, but that was one fourth of the bulletized things, and I'm not aware that they've been addressed. Obviously, someone thought back here that it was. Then moving on to the other issue, street maintenance is pretty consistent, no issue there all the way through. It's there as a big deal. Improve the fire department, generally in the other discussions, talk about physical things. Repair earthquake, earth damage, fire station. In one, and in others, it talks about and or equipment. So basically, then you go to the newspaper article, and it talks about reinstate police positions that have been trimmed. Well, I don't find anywhere in the documents mm-hmm. where it's talking about this is to supplement labor, but yet that's the way much of the money is being spent. Now, could you argue that's public safety in a generic sense, but when the documents seem to be so clear on that the funds were there for the building and for equipment, it seems like if it was meant to be and personnel in the lead-up documents, like the door hangers and all that, it would have said that, but it didn't. It didn't say that. You could argue, and then in the ballot measure, it was slipped in, and other general city services, where I don't know where that came from, because that now can open it up as far as what we actually voted on, or not, I guess I wasn't one of those, but the people who voted on it, basically, then you could say, well, it's anything, if you want to go specifically by what Measure Q said in the voting of it. So anyway, my comments are, like I said, they're very, I could go through the rest of the things, but they're, in my opinion, they're fairly inconsistent. Two issues. One, I don't see where the storm drain issue has been addressed, even to say, well, you know, I know we put it there, but it's all fine. We don't have any issues with our storm drains. And maybe you can give me the history of how did what appears to be very specifically spending money relative to the fire department now is morphed into also some for the police department, which wasn't mentioned at all. And it's for labor where it seemed like that was not the intent.
Okay.
So anyway, those are...
Let me address a couple of those based on the history. Thank you, Bart, for that. I would agree. At some point, there may be some inconsistency. What you have to remember is you had maybe a group of citizens writing, you know, trying to drum up support, talking to people, writing, editing door hangers, et cetera, and that may be a different group, and there's some inconsistency there. What the vote, but the reason we have this information and supply it is this is what we, the committee, whoever that was, it wasn't me, but the committee, it was a former member, one of them was on this committee previously. It was what the committee was, if you will, marketing or selling to the public to get their support. What actually got on the ballot might not have been the exact wording of all of that, and it couldn't be because that's inconsistent. And you are absolutely correct. There is a caveat in there, shall not, improving the general safety or wherever it was, some very general thing that means the money could be used for anything. So to me, that means, okay, maybe you spent 90% on the fire and police one year, you had excess of 10%, you spent it on something else that improves the public safety, and that's reasonable. These weren't a 25%, so that's number one, I'll say. Number two, we have addressed the storm drains over previous years. We've had expenditures in the previous Measure Q budgets to address that and repair that. Whether that's done, that hasn't been done every year, but there's a process that the staff goes through to request Measure Q expenditures explained in here in the A and B. And then thirdly, in the information Ms. Calloway provided, this was not passed as a special tax initiative, you know, under the Prop 13 guidelines of two-thirds. Based on the consultant work, thinking, and they didn't get it. They missed it by some tenths of a percent. So it was really passed as a general tax initiative. Technically, what that means is our city council could direct our staff to use this money for anything. Now, they've adopted resolutions over the years and refined them, stating that that is their intention to focus the expenditures on what we promised the voters. But a new council or the existing council could come in and change that tomorrow. So, again, my intention was not to confuse you with all this information. My intention was to kind of give you some backup information so that when we're making decisions, hey, we kind of know what was marketed. Any comments, Jennifer?
You know, I think you did a good job explaining that because it was a general tax measure. It can be used for any general fund purpose legally. Staff's goal is always to meet the intent of what the voters passed that for and make that recommendation, and it's the council's choice to, you know, accept that or not. Your board, your job as an advisory board is to say, we think you've met that intent. So that's what we're looking at when we bring you this information is, did we meet the intent of what the people thought they voted this measure for? In terms of the allocation, there was no specific direction and any of the materials, I don't think, about how much should be allocated towards fire, how much should be allocated towards storm drains. So as long as in general, over the course of several years, you are meeting those allocations, if there's a storm drain issue that comes up and we can allocate some of that money to address that, that would be appropriate under the ballot language. It may not be every year, though. So maybe that helps.
Okay, so you're telling me, and this is a slippery slope kind of discussion with another measure potentially going on the ballot to basically say that what everybody thought they were voting on, the council has the authority to override that and do whatever they want. That's what I just heard. Rather specifically, in my reading of this, the intent clearly was not to provide for labor. It was to provide for things like the fire department, like equipment, for, you know, first aid equipment. Police was not mentioned at all. So how the so you're saying, though, that's all well and good, but since it wasn't a two-thirds, the council can do whatever they want. They would like to stay within what some interpretation of the intent is, but they don't have to, and I don't, in my opinion, that's not what's being done here. Now, most of it's going to street, clearly clean. In the past, apparently, some went for storms, clearly clean. But the, like the resource person at the school, I don't see where any interpretation would get funding of that as an example. Anyway, that being said, I'm not, you know, you basically pointed us in the direction of what did Measure Q do and what was it saying. Forget the door hangers even. I'm just saying with the resolution, what was on the ballot, you know, although the door hangers, once again, that's a pretty slippery slope again to basically try to start arguing that what was told to the community through these pretty official door hangers, well, that may have been misled, a misleading thing.
The only other comment I'll make is the ballot initiative clearly states funding equipment, fire stations, comma, police, comma. So that implies to me police funding is included. Go ahead. Yeah,
and I just want to clarify that legally, because it's a general tax measure, it only had to pass with a 50% vote, and that's why it can be applied towards general fund expenditures. A special tax measure, that's the two-thirds vote, is then very restricted as to what was defined as use of the measure. So I didn't want to give the impression that you can just kind of, you know, whatever the measure is, depending on if it's special or general, is what would dictate what it can be used on. And the council's taken very specific action to try to define that in a way that was consistent with the measure. And that's what those resolutions are set up for.
Thank you. Okay. Any other comments? Moving along, I'll open it up for public comment period. If there's any public comment on items not on the agenda or for which you cannot stay. Seeing none, close public comment. Let's move on to the consent calendar. A1, approval of minutes for the October 17th. CFAC meeting. I think we have a correction there, John.
Well, I was at the meeting and my name just got left off of the members present, so if you could add me to that. Thank you.
Was there anybody else? No, John Irwin wasn't here, so that would be right, 6. Okay, so if you just make that correction, appreciate it. So with that correction, I'll move to accept the minutes for October 17th as presented. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Dawn. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Approved. Approved. Unanimous. Thank you. All right. We will move on to B1, business items. Any public comment on items in B? All right. Closed public comment. The first one is a brief finance department update on the audit, staffing, and the budget from the finance director. Welcome, Ms. Calway.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here and meet everybody, especially in advance of the recognition program, which is Monday night. So I hope to see you there as well.
Excuse me. You want to speak just a little closer to the mic?
I always have to remember that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just wanted to take a minute and do a brief update. You may all be aware that we are at year-end close and the auditors have been on site, have done their field work. They're back in their office wrapping up, and we have a preliminary exit scheduled for next week. So we'll have a phone conversation with them just as a status update for you. Also, you may be aware that we've had some staffing transitions within the department. So we're happy to report that one of our account clerk positions that has been vacant was filled this week with a permanent staff member. So we're excited to have Cherie on board for day two. And then we have a part-time employee that has offered to assist us on about 30 hours a week. And that'll give me a chance to get settled, kind of assess the department and see what that second position, if that's the right level position, if it makes sense for it to be another account clerk, maybe an office tech or something like that. So kind of a temporary measure there to help us with that. I also wanted to introduce Valerie. Valerie is our senior accountant. She had joined us about a year ago. And I like to bring the team members to these kind of committees. I think it's important for you to see who's working for you, especially in the finance department. So ask Val if she'd join us today. She's helping with taking notes and just get a chance to see how this all works. So thank you, Val, for doing that. And then lastly, I have budget on here. We've heard from a couple committee members about a budget calendar, and that's a priority for the committee. So I just wanted to address that I've heard that we plan to come back probably in January with some draft form of that to get feedback from the committee on if it meets your expectations, if not, or what we can change. So just wanted to give you an FYI and to expect that coming.
Thank you. We may ask you on that later when we do a subcommittee up report. That ties right in, but that's perfect. Welcome, Valerie. Great. No, I think it's a wonderful idea to bring some of the other staff, so we'll get to meet everybody. Thank you. All right, that brings us to B2, probably the meat of today's meeting, review of the fiscal year 2016-17, last fiscal year, unaudited transactions from the Measure Q fund that is in your agenda. And so first of all, B2 was the introduction that Jennifer, or the background information. I think we've all gone through that. And so if there's no questions on that, I think that was very helpful as well. That's probably what propelled me to send all that other information. Hopefully wasn't in info overload. But anyways, I think that's very good. I like the simple format page. I'm on page 8 of 32, where we talk about the operating expenditures for this year. And that's pretty straightforward. It's summarized from the accumulated transactions. Is everybody okay? Any comments on that or any of the other Measure Q? We can go through it any way you'd like if you have some specific comments. Or Jennifer also answered the questions that were provided in the agenda. So if there's anything specific on any of those, we can address. Maybe I'll start with Walter. Do you have anything?
I don't have anything.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, John.
Well, I'd first of all, I'd like to thank Jennifer for your transparency and your responsiveness to our questions. Very much appreciate that. The only question that I have on these two tables on page 8 and 9 is in regards to the items that show up as unbudgeted expenditures. And just, I know they're pretty small dollar amounts, but some of them were carryover from prior years. Some of them had to do with grant money that was passed through. And just as someone who comes to this cold, if there are things like that that could just be simply explained with a footnote, it would be appreciated, so we don't have to ask questions about things that have an easy explanation that we could get, you know, up front. So just something to be mindful of for the future. And that's the only thing I have.
Don?
Not at this time.
Thank you. Bart?
Is this specifically regarding pages 8 and 9?
Let's start with 8 and 9, and then we'll go from there. And then I'll start with you on the other end. So, don't have anything? Okay. I agree. I like this format. I like the explanations and everything. I think this is pretty straightforward. Page 9 is good because we have the history of the budget. So it gives us a comparison as to how Measure Q, what the actuals were compared to the budget. So I think that's, in general, helpful. And following up on John's comment, I would have a question. When we put the Cal Grant money into the Measure Q, number one, I think it was the absolute right thing to do to put it on the streets because that was what it was for. Is that really the right thing to do from an accounting or auditing perspective to move it into Measure Q when you might be trying to balance sales tax Measure Q revenues, and then you're going to always have these other things that we... I don't know if that's appropriate to do that based on the discussion. Not appropriate, but, you know, can it be confusing later, 5 years later, someone tries to audit and looks at the Measure Q, where'd this extra $39,000 come from?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, from an accounting perspective, there's nothing technically wrong with doing that. Mm-hmm. From a clarity perspective and, you know, a person coming in new and trying to go back into that history, generally I would keep all grants kind of separated out and do a transfer in from Measure Q into the grant fund. Mm-hmm. It just for easier reporting purposes, but it's not wrong to do it that way.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to imply it was wrong. I think the expenditure of it was correct, and doing it certainly was okay. I'm more concerned about when we're in the course of doing our budget-friendly documents for citizens, we hear a lot of, well, these transfers in, transfers out. So I would think you would just keep it in the general fund, use it for the streets or whatever the appropriate grant usage is, but I'm not sure I would cloud Measure. But I don't have any strong feelings, so I'm not going to make a recommendation, so I'm glad. It sounds like we're on the same page. Okay, and then following up that line item, so let's go to the questions, okay, because I think there's one point of discussion. The questions were answered in the agenda, and then Jennifer also gave us some supplemental information. So does anybody have any comments or questions on our questions to staff? Go ahead, John.
Just a point of clarification, Jennifer. So on the debt service for the fire station, so you've got this reserve requirement that they're allowing you to accumulate over a 10-year period. Does that include, is it 10% of both principal and interest payment, your annual total calculation?
So typically, I didn't pull the actual bond documents for this, but standard is your last annual payment amount you set up an indenture account for.
So it would include the interest mm-hmm. expense. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And USDA is unique in that they let you do that over the 10-year period. Most bonds that I've worked with in other cities, you've had to do that up front.
Okay. So the way it's working is when the budget's done, it's shown as a use of money.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, it's just a set-aside for the future. So when we get to the last item on today's agenda, it's in regards to basically how much is available for the following fiscal year in Measure Q funds. And you've got a fund balance in there that is fully restricted
mm-hmm.
because it's a tax measure. But in fact, part of that restricted money is restricted further by the bond indenture.
That's correct.
Right.
That's correct.
So would there be a way to show that, or would that be improper? Or because I think it kind of gets lost in the mix. And then the other thing is that it's a little awkward that you have set aside this. I think it should be roughly $33,000 by this point, and yet you finish the fiscal year negative cash. So I'm not sure how the USDA views that when, in fact, that cash is not actually sitting there in the bank set aside like they think it should be.
So the negative cash is because of the accruals for the revenues that hadn't come in yet, and that was the last 2 months of the sales tax. So we always accrue that back to the fiscal year that it was earned in, if you will. So that's why it looks like there was negative cash. In terms of clarifying that, I think when we start presenting maybe a mid-year budget report or the budget document and we show the reserve balances, it would be very appropriate to show an indenture balance there for this fund, and you could see it grow each year with that 10%. So that would be a way, since it is kind of an on-paper only accounting for it, that would be the way to give you some comfort level that it's there. The USDA would be able to refer to that as well.
Can I make sure, which you're probably way ahead of me from an accounting standpoint. There's two lines, 8110 and 8130. The actual year-to-date transactions line up with the payment schedule as a later appendix. And then there's this 8240 difference. Is that the same? Is it just coincidentally the same amount of money, or is that the 10%? And I guess
that's the 10%, right?
Okay. So it's put into the principal repayment as far as a budget item, but we know we're not going to spend it. So
right.
So does this show up somewhere else where you're seeing this 33,000?
What page are you on so she can follow, please?
23.
Thank you.
8110, 8130 are the line items.
It basically shows up in the reserve balances. It's in
which page is that?
It's the citywide reserve balances, so that information isn't in the packet.
And that's
report.
Why she answered that in that question, and I wondered, I couldn't find it here, but obviously it'd be in the general fund reserve?
Like the citywide financial statements.
Citywide, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, that's the easiest one of all to estimate because it's a fixed amount.
Right.
But yet we're automatically going to be over by this, well, under if you will.
Right.
But it's $8,200.
Right.
I don't know. That seems.
Bart, if you, the very last page of our packet today shows the Measure Q departmental carryover and unallocated cash. This is a separate item on the agenda, but we can kind of answer your question here.
Mm-hmm.
The very last page, like
on the back,
like
32.
Page 32. Yeah.
Okay, I got them out of order now. So it's page 32.
Yeah. So the very bottom of page 32, it shows balance available to allocate in the following fiscal year, so 17-18. And it shows a balance of $125,993. Out of that $125,993, there's roughly $33,000 that is this set aside for the 10% reserve. So, in fact, that $33,000 is not available to allocate in fiscal year 17-18. Would that be correct?
That's how I understand it. I did call Susan to confirm with her how she had been reporting or recording it in the past, so that's how I understood it from her, and for clarity we can pull that out as a line item so the committee can see that going forward.
Okay, that explains why the carryover every year always seems, we recommend like last year 55K go to the streets or whatever, and it's usually offset by this. So okay, so there is a reserve there, and presumably at the end of the 15 years of the payoff of the debt you would have that.
Mm-hmm.
$175,000 or whatever it would end up being, you know.
That you could choose to make your final payment with,
you
could make your final payment and have that as fund balance to allocate out.
Okay, that answers my questions on that.
I just have one other.
Yeah,
then
go ahead.
I'll be quiet. As far
okay.
as the police standby pay, there was another $13,000 in fiscal 17-18's list of requests, and very little has been spent for that purpose. What is your opinion of that going forward?
So generally with any kind of staffing related costs, you budget what you think you're going to spend. So if you have a vacancy, for example, I would budget top step full family medical because you don't know who's going to fill that position. And at year end, it washes out with savings if you hire somebody at step one that maybe is single or doesn't need medical coverage. So I would always suggest that if the department thinks they need that, presents a valid case for needing it that the committee is comfortable with and the council is comfortable with, we would budget it. If it doesn't get spent, that's great, because then you can reallocate it towards streets or whatever else you'd like to. But at least it's appropriated for them in a cause that you think is appropriate for the fiscal year. And there's nothing to say at mid-year when we come forward with a mid-year report that you could question at that point, do you still need this amount or do you need less of it?
Okay, I appreciate that answer. It's always difficult in governmental budgeting because some agencies have a use it or lose it attitude, and that's never good for anybody. But of course, anything that is there year after year that doesn't get paid, then you always see it as a pad. So there's a fine line there that needs to be resolved.
Well, actually, even on the Measure Q, a lot of the fire station, I think the personnel labor costs can only be carried over 1 year. That was also part of our policy. So
there seems to be some in policies either adopted at this level or the council level as to what can be carried forward and how that can be. And you're right, the fire department can be, but police personnel costs weren't allowed to be carried forward. So it's essentially zero-based. When they come back for their present budget proposals for next year, they're starting at level zero and requesting how much they need.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so any other questions from members here on these questions? I have one. It's on the Caterpillar. I'm sorry this has come up again from some input. However, it is a lease, and that's why it's coming up. Had it been purchased as a capital expense, you would probably have been purchased by council, approved, budgeted, et cetera. There's no doubt that in the I went back over the lease and the council meeting and the minutes, the documentation, it was to be paid for out of Measure Q funds. So there's no question about that. But the question we had, the supplemental question we had asked is, why are we, if we are paying 3.2% interest buried in that lease to purchase, wouldn't we be better off understanding that the first year we couldn't afford it or there wasn't budget, but times change, and that's why you review leases in the interim, especially if you have clauses in there where you can terminate for convenience. So the question now becomes, would we be better off, since the interest rate is only 1.02%, would we be better off in getting a payoff figure, paying that off and saving the 2%? It's probably only $3,000-$4,000 over the remaining 2 or 3 years, but it's money. So can you comment on that, Jennifer?
Sure, and I know Rob's here too. If he has any input from the, I assume that the department wants to keep the Caterpillar as well. So, going off of that assumption, happy to get a payoff amount. Make sure there's no termination penalties or anything like that, or early payoff penalties. I didn't see any in the lease, but we can check on that. Bring that forward at the next meeting for you to make a recommendation on. The discussion would then be the funding source. So, if you would propose to use some of that balance left over to pay it off from Measure Q. I don't believe there's sufficient funds in the internal services funds to pay off the whole thing at this point, but I can double check on that. Mm-hmm. So that would be the conversation, is we'd have to discuss the funding source to do that.
So if I understand you correctly, there's not sufficient funding within the departmental budget.
The general fund budget.
The general fund budget to pay it off. So basically, year three, we're doing the same thing as we've did in year one. We cannot afford to pay for it, so we're leasing it, and we own the equipment. Correct? If at the end,
it's a lease to purchase. So I think the it's a lease to purchase. So I believe the final payment was around $2,000.
Okay. So. Then I guess the discussion is the other funds that we have invested are for other enterprise funds, or they're not available for this purchase?
Well, there's internal service funds that the city has set up. There's a equipment replacement or maintenance fund. 2.5 weeks in, I don't have all the detail on those, so I think that's why I would suggest also that we wait till our next meeting. And whether that's December or January, I can go back and do some research. But in conversations with Ms. Slayton, she mentioned that there's limited ability to absorb payoffs at this point. So I'd confirm that and go back and do some research, and we can bring back options.
Okay, that would be, if it's not a whole lot of work or something, the capital equipment, I mean, that's what those funds are for, and that's why we should be funding those. Otherwise, every major equipment is going to be financed, you know, costing more in the long run, bottom line. So, okay. Anybody have any comments? Are you guys okay asking staff to just do a minimal amount of research on this? Okay.
I do have one comment about the, what was this, steer?
Yes.
Steers, whatever that thing is called, Caterpillar. So in the list of requests that we got for fiscal 17-18, there was no item for that in that list. So I'm guessing that was just under the pavement management amount that was in the request. But I, for something like that, that's going to cost, you know, $22,000 a year, and it's for a specific item, I think it'd be prudent to have a separate line item in the list of requests, especially something that's going to be in there for 5 years. It seems like it's kind of hidden in there the way it is now.
Okay, I'm not sure of the 17-18 where it's being was focusing on 1617. So,
yeah.
Again, I can come back with that information.
Okay.
And then one more thing on that. It has been used in parks on occasion, but not on a regular basis. I think that could also be a little bit of a slippery slope. If it's even used, it should be allocated. That cost should be allocated to whoever is benefiting from that use. And if it's not for, you know, the streets or what was approved by Measure Q budget, should come up with some type of allocation. Because maybe it's only used once, 1 year, and the next year it's used three or four times. But that does need to be that, in my opinion. Okay, on the accumulated transaction listing, again, thanks, Jennifer, for doing that. Number one, I like the fact that you've labeled every page who ran it and when and the date. And I also like the fact that you've managed to get the column headings on every single page. That was something we didn't have before. So whoever did that, my thanks. It really helps. I was writing them in red pen on every page in the past. So does anybody have any question on those transactions or anything? I think most of them were buried in our questions to you.
Yeah, just a comment. I don't know to what extent this is a program that's been set up, but I was trying to go from the first table to the detail to one that just John referred us to on page 32 to try to find the numbers, and it wasn't necessarily easy. Some were pretty straightforward, but the easiest one obviously would have been the revenue lines. And for example, the interest and the other revenue, the grant money, is way down in the detail. I would have expected to see all the revenue line items and maybe subtotal revenue and expense items in the same order as the other ones. And then I went to like the fire department salaries to look at the detail in the back for that and to line it up. You know, I could ask a lot of questions where I couldn't find numbers. And you're new, but I would hope next year I think it'd make it easier for you if basically you could see all the detail rolled up to a line item here. Unless I'm just missing it. I just couldn't. It was very difficult to track and to find the numbers. So I have my sense is these are done independently of the detail. Somebody's got something where they're saying, take this line, put it here, this line, put it here, this line, put it here, rather than a roll-up program. Is that?
So the accumulated transaction listing, as much as you appreciate it, Barbara, I'd like to take credit for doing that, but this is just how it ran out of the system. So it was a happy accident that it worked that way for all the headings and the thing. I printed it out of the system like this and provided it because it's what the committee had received in the past, and I didn't want to cause any more confusion. The charts in the staff report, I took these reports and I put them together so I could better understand it. So I understand where you're saying that it's hard to go through and add them up. The revenues don't all come to the top, which is more typical. You kind of have to search through them. So if the committee would like, I'm happy to kind of dump these in Excel and make them summarize up. I just didn't want to cause any additional
confusion.
I'm not
asking for anything this year.
No, in the future.
Next year, because I just think it would make it easier for you. It would be easier for the council when they review documents. Because we all would have this. You have the same difficulty in trying to make sure you understand where to find things. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're any different than you, because I know you would have had the same problem I had.
Yeah, I didn't want to steer too far from the traditional format, but if I'm given a green light to do that, then I'm happy to do that.
Well, in fairness to Jennifer, she did present this to me before just so we could, and we agreed. Personally, maybe I've been reviewing this too darn long, but I thought it was so much better than what we've seen in the past, but that's the way, because there were less pages and summarized. So I think we're taking iterative steps to make it better, and those are good suggestions. And sometimes you can try different report formats, but you got to be real careful. You pick the right fields and get it all in there, and it takes some time to look at it and figure out, hey, is this really what I wanted, or what am I missing? So, yeah, you have the green light to, you know, do anything that will simplify this, and now the stuff I was looking at were the totals, and they were pretty easy to, for me, but to find here. But anything you think might improve it based on your experience, we would certainly appreciate that. So on that
same report, the accumulated transaction listing, so that one invoice for Cloisters Park bike path, you've made sure that had nothing to do with Cloisters Park? That was just something that it was there and they just copied over it or something?
I think Mr. Livick and I both looked at it because I wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something on it. There's Val's passing out a copy of the invoice and the payment that you were referring to in your question, and there isn't anything on here that either he or I saw that would imply that it was Cloisters Park. So I think it was probably just whether it was typed or if it was when you're typing, it automatically filled in based on the last entry. But it appears to have been an error in the description on the transactions report.
Unfortunately, with computers, once those things are in there and nobody catches it, it stays
right
there forever.
Right.
So, all right.
Okay, so any other questions on that before we go to the last page, which is item B3, the carryover report? Okay, so I think we already discussed a little bit of the set-aside on the carryover report, B3. Any questions, comments on that, or any recommendations or discussions on what we should consider for that carryover? Okay, so I'll start us off. In years past, depending on the amount of the carryover, we typically would make an allocation or a recommendation that be brought forward and added to the street budget because that was the most pressing at the time, and I'm sure still is. This is a larger amount than I've seen in years past, other than the huge carryover amounts where we did the alternating street repairs every year. We may want to consider to incorporate that with all the budget challenges, that should be incorporated in the 2018-2019 budget process, whereby staff, council, citizens, and everybody can determine how that should be allocated, keeping in mind, of course, the Measure Q guidelines. But
I would just say I think that's a reasonable suggestion. We're really talking about fund balance here, what's left at the end of the year. And in my prior experiences, that's what these kind of fund balances have been used for, is carried forward and incorporated into available allocations for the next fiscal year. We could also have a conversation at mid-year again if you wanted to see what has been spent so far this year and where, and then you could have a conversation then as well.
I think it's a sizable amount, so I'm not sure maybe all of us have the recommendation. However, I do want to ensure that it does go to the Measure Q, guidelines, focus areas. But I also know we have some budget challenges and everything else, so I presume it's too late for the pavement management plan this year anyways. Any other comments or thoughts?
I would just like to say I think it'd be a good thing if the fund finished every fiscal year with a good size balance, because I think what Rob runs into is when you put together road contracts, more often than not, the bids come in higher than you think. And so it's never a bad thing to have a little extra money. It's always costly to try to cut those contracts back to fit a budget. So you're always better off to have a little bit of money left over that you can put toward a larger contract if needed. So I think it'd be a good thing just to have a good size carryover every year.
I would just add, I would feel more comfortable making a recommendation if I knew a list of high priority needs that might fit within that dollar amount of the carryover, to be able to make a recommendation whether to keep that carrying over or spend that on something within Measure Q that's a high priority but just hasn't been able to be paid for specifically.
I think we could provide that information, especially when we're doing budget proposals. You would get a list of priorities and a list of options. So I think that would be a prime time for you to have that conversation.
the Measure Q.
For Measure Q, specifically.
For next fiscal year.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know John's got to be leaving here in minutes, going to Bakersfield. It sounds like there's another document that we don't have, and that's the guidelines for Measure Q. Since it's been acknowledged that there's an inconsistency between what you passed out and well...
No, there's not another document.
There's some guidelines that have been referenced here in this discussion as far as how do we spend the money, or someone along the way, someone has decided, like the school resource officer. I don't see where... I mean, we can make an argument. I know that's important, but I don't see...
I see it under public safety.
Yeah.
Excuse the interruption, but I see it under public safety.
Public safety could basically be used to fund the police and fire departments.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that was the intent when we passed, when Measure Q was passed. Storm drains, if I can, Rob, since you're here, are no, virtually last 2 years, no money's been spent. Does that mean we're really good with storm drains? I mean, yes or no answer is fine. If it's yes, that's good.
Let me open up for public comment on this item. Thank you, Ron.
I wouldn't say that we're really good on storm drains, but what we have going on right now is our One Water Planning effort, which includes a storm drain master plan as part of that. So we're reluctant to do a lot of storm drain work until we have this planning effort completed and a recommended capital improvement plan that goes along with that. So we, as most cities do, have a charted course for their expenditures in these big capital areas.
Okay. One other comment. Is the contractor was used recently for the roads different than the one like a year ago?
No, we issued last year a multi-year contract to pavement coatings. So it's more prevalent in the federal government. It's called an IDIQ contract, indefinite quantities, indefinite delivery. So we have them for two years. So next year we'll be going out to bid for work. And this contractor, pavement coatings, can only really do seal coats, chip seal, triple layers. They don't actually do paving where you dig up the street and put a new street down. So we'll probably next year need to do some actual paving work.
Okay.
So we'll issue a new solicitation for bid.
The reason I mention that, my casual observation is that the work that was done this last 6 months is really well done versus some of the stuff a year ago, a little shaky. So something seems to have changed, at least by my casual observation.
I think
pretty good.
I think we had their B team when they first started last year. This year they didn't want to make that same mistake.
Okay.
And
so it wasn't
sent a better crew to work.
The work looks really
thank you.
Really good.
Thank you, Rob.
If I could
go ahead, Jen.
Just add, Mr. Beckman, your two governing resolutions were approved by the council, one in May of 2010, and that outlined how to make requests for the Measure Q funding, and then the one that your chair passed out, and that's the one that you were reading and felt like there were some discrepancies or inconsistencies there. But those are the two governing resolutions, so there are no other documents that you're missing at this point.
So I think my basis for the suggestion was, if Jennifer, we would rely on staff's input as to, collected from all your other department heads, as to what the priorities are for the Measure Q, and bring it to the next meeting, and then we'll discuss it, and then probably make a recommendation as to how that money should be spent. Okay. Thank you. I'll make a note that Member Martin had to leave, but we still have a quorum. Thank you. All right, so I think we've concluded our discussion. I think we're ready for a recommendation that the CFAC committee approve the unaudited expenditures 2016 to 2017 fiscal year of the Measure Q. And if somebody would like to make that motion.
So moved.
Thanks, Walter. That's Walter Heath made the motion. And is there a second to that?
I'll second.
Thank you, Don. Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. That motion carries unanimously 4-0. And then typically, and we can maybe discuss this at a future meeting or whatever, but just bear in mind, we have to summarize our discussion, and we typically put it into some type of presentation and recommendation, very brief summary to council. So, but we may have some other recommendations here, so that's why maybe we'll hold off till we have the full committee here. All right, so that brings us to the next item on the agenda, which is B4. Subcommittee updates. And Jennifer, we talked about the CAFR report and that going to City Council. Is that done, or do I need to agendize that? How do we handle that?
So the CAFR report is scheduled to go in January, and
okay.
We thought it would go at the same time as the recommendations from
the Measure Q.
Measure Q.
Okay.
So hit them out in both one meeting.
All right. So just let me know which January. It's obviously one of the two meetings.
Okay. Yes, right. I believe it's the first one, but I'll double check and be in.
Okay, yeah. Because what I'd like to do is, if the committee's okay with that, I'd like to put something together and have you guys all review it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can all attend and present whatever.
I think that first meeting is January 9th of 2018.
Right. Yeah. You're right, because the first is 8th Monday. Thank you, Walter. All right. Then the next subcommittee report, one of the members is absent, but Dawn and Walter are here. And if you would like to just briefly summarize, I know you've been meeting,
mm-hmm.
and what you've discussed, and we get the input of the rest of the committee,
mm-hmm.
and staff.
Well, we met and kind of came up with three recommendations, had much discussion about what might be realistic as well as worthwhile to spend staff time on. Coming up with, so the kind of the three things would be to develop the written budget calendar, which I know you mentioned right as the meeting opened, Jennifer, including a timeline of key events and meetings, just so it's more accessible to the public, of things that the public should just have a heads up, like this or that happens in February, this other important thing happens in July. So not that it would be dated for the calendar year, but that it would have sort of the general, you know, what happens in which month. And then also to link the city budget documents, to have the links to the city budget documents more recognizable on the website. And so right now it seems like you have to go to finance and then you have to go to another link. We'd love to see something right on the front page, especially since it's all taxpayer money, really, more or less. There's that blue box on the left side of the front page of the website that, you know, has some quick links. It'd be wonderful if there was just a link at the bottom to the budget page, and then again at the top there's a bar along the top. But ultimately, we decided we wanted to kind of make the recommendation and then let staff decide, you know, where you think those links would best work, but somehow get a couple of them on the front page. And then as time and resources allow, to create just a couple of videos, one as a webcast to explain what is the budget process, and then the other to give a broad overview of what is the budget document. So for people who want to understand but don't want to have to do the heavy lifting of reading all of the line items and, you know, digging deep. And then we didn't put it in our notes, but we had some discussion, and Walter helped me remember, of getting just the public-friendly document more accessible. Maybe that was the one we wanted linked on the front page. Was the public-friendly document.
And it would probably even be helpful to have the pie charts, the graphic,
yes,
representation there on the homepage, since the,
mm-hmm,
budget is such an important element of municipal government. And you can't necessarily put it in its full size, but a thumbnail that could be clicked on and then enlarged for someone to actually see the detail.
And so the crux of our work as a subcommittee is really just to figure out how do we continue to open up this process for the public to make it understandable and accessible, especially for, you know, for people new to the budget process.
And I think we want to agendize after maybe the next meeting,
mm-hmm,
and I've asked the subcommittee to come back with a written report so that to help them flush out what exactly they want to do, who's going to do it, what support is required from staff. You know, like a calendar, they may need information, and you may do something, and we may want something more detailed. So as a start, but I think it's an excellent start meeting and discussing mm-hmm. some of this and coming to some agreement. And the rest of the committee, I think, I know I would support your efforts mm-hmm. there. Bart, I'm sure you...
Yeah, I think, you know, great suggestions. The video can be expensive, time-consuming. Those are not easily...
Well, maybe the committee wants to do that, prepare it themselves, or YouTube or something, put a link on. Yeah. And
or just a webcast. I mean, really...
You're going to be the talent, then that's a different story.
It's less a video, more of a webcast, which, you know...
But the other suggestions, I think, can be done probably fairly easily. The video, obviously, I think, requires a little more discussion before I would personally support it, to know how much it would cost and see what the benefits are. Not that it's not a good idea. It's just that that's a lot more labor-intensive.
Well, that's why we want them to put in writing exactly mm-hmm. what it is, the priority of the items, and who initially we think could do what. Okay. So that'll...
I do want to kind of peel back the layers on this video thing, because I actually don't think it's a huge cost, and I don't think it's not an in-person video. What we're talking about is a webcast. Maybe you have some input, Jennifer.
I would just add that we're actually going to be exploring with doing some internal videos. Val's actually the first one up, that because she does our payroll system, and it's all mm-hmm. electronic timekeeping. And staff has the ability to go in and select, you know, electronic pay vouchers rather than getting the paper ones. It's just not a well-known feature. So we're going to do some videos with her, kind of doing tutorials to send out to staff so we can be more environmentally friendly if we don't have to print, and just more convenient for everybody. So perhaps when we come back for the next meeting, we'll have done a couple of those, and you could see if that's kind of the quality that you're looking for, or if you're looking for a... It's not going to be a high quality. I'm going to film her with the...
Exactly. And PowerPoint has webcasting.
Right.
Google has Google Cast. We've done them at work in a matter of minutes.
Right.
So we're not talking about a high-value, in-person kind of video that you'd see on TV, a basic webcast that could explain the documents.
So those could be something you could look at and see if that's, you know, kind mm-hmm. of the quality you're looking for, and have the conversation after you see what we...
Right. And we might have to write the script for that, you know, following up on the budget
exactly.
family docs, but that's where, that's an excellent start. So it sounds like we're all thinking along the same mm-hmm. Lines, so that's excellent. So, great. So it sounds like you would support, just like the rest of our committee, what the subcommittee has reported they think we would like to do. Okay.
That'd be great to see the example. I'm not familiar, I mean, I know conceptually, I think, what you're mm-hmm. talking about, but it sounds mm-hmm. like there's a very...
Super simple.
Super simple.
Yeah.
And that'd
super
be,
simple.
Okay, that I could certainly get behind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. All right. So that closes item B4. Okay. So a couple questions before we get to the future agenda items. I think you were going to talk about the book, Jennifer, whatever. We had requested a online version of 25 Common Mistakes for Elected Officials in Budget Matters.
So happy holidays. The book has been ordered.
Okay.
I was hoping to have them here so I could, you know, deliver them with bows on them, but they won't come until scheduled for Friday. So I'll email the committee, and you're welcome mm-hmm. to pick them up when they arrive, or I can bring them, you know, we can mail them to you, or whatever is most convenient.
Did you order any for city council?
I ordered 7 copies, I believe.
So that's fine, because each of us probably has a friend or somebody that will speak to us on council, and then when we're done with our book, we can just not duplicate, give it to them. Okay, good enough. Thank you. That's great. That's happy holidays.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Appreciate that. All right, so any other future agenda items?
Just still interested. The one thing I wanted to bring up, still interested in knowing where we're at with that purchasing software, with the PO software, and getting an update, whether it's next agenda or if you need a couple months.
I'm not sure it's next agenda given the amount of work on some other topics.
Yep.
I do expect that we'll have another audit comment on that because it hasn't been implemented since the prior one, so that should be expected. The module exists. I'm not sure of the functionality, but it certainly would be important to get that going. It helps to track encumbrances. You can incorporate the contracting process into that. So it's definitely a top priority. I would hope by February-ish I'll have a better concept of how far along I've gotten in that and what support we need, if any.
And my personal interest in that item is even just to get a timeline on that.
Okay.
Because it's kind of been lingering out there as without even a timeline for implementation or a goal date for implementation. So even that, if that was a February agenda item, to be able to come with some kind of goal date for implementation.
And we do have a member that worked in purchasing for a city, Dave Batant, that's volunteered to help with that. So we all agree it's important, and we'd like to see it get prioritized in a reasonable fashion. And as Dawn said, if you come back and say, hey, we can't do this till we get our staff trained and our videos done and everything else, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. At least we know, and it's get it on the calendar, and has a higher probability of being accomplished, hopefully.
My other question on that is if having that in place would affect the understandability of the Measure Q funds at all, like if there's any kind of overlap between the two.
I think, in general, having it in place is going to help the understanding of all of our funds because it's really going to take, for example, a larger street project or pavement plan project and encumber that money for the contractor or the, you know, who we have on contract to do that work. So that money will be set aside. It's promised to that contractor, and you won't see it as money that hasn't been spent, you know, essentially. So for all of our funds, it's going to be super important and helpful, I think, in understanding what those allocations are and how much has been appropriated and spent.
And that's a good point, because this committee did recommend encumbrance-type accounting back when Ms. McPherson was on the committee over a year or so ago, and we couldn't do it because the system they have, or the staff said they couldn't do it because the system they had at the time. So this is an additional feature that not that you're not doing it now, you're just probably doing it in a less efficient and more manual way. So this would be very helpful. So it does need to get prioritized, but I think it's a little bigger task than most people think anytime you implement that and the retraining and the cost, and may have to hire a consultant to get it all merged together. So consideration for that. Okay, so we're going to talk about the next meeting that has been scheduled, the regular third Tuesdays, December 19th. I'm not sure all of our members can make it based on some feedback. So, I don't think council's meeting that last fourth Tuesday in either.
They're not. There's only one council meeting in December.
Yeah, okay. So we got through the meat of everything we needed to do today, certainly on the Measure Q. We need to do some preparation, and the subcommittee is going to be meeting again. Is it necessary to meet December 19th, or can we just go dark in December and then meet January 16th at our regular meeting? Thoughts, comments?
I would be fine with that.
That's fine. I think that would give, is it Jennifer or Jen?
Either is fine.
Either? Jen, Heather?
Yeah, either. Whatever either. You prefer.
Jennifer. But I think
Jennifer's fine for more time.
Yeah.
I think you're focused on learning.
Coming up to your job is more important than trying to get ready for one of our meetings.
Right. You can see there's a lot of prep work, and she did an awful lot of work this time. And, of course, the Measure Q is important. But you're absolutely right. My concern is that's, you know, the holiday time, and, you know, if we do all this and then somebody can't show that day because of illness, you know.
Was there a suggestion that we show up for the first city council meeting, which would be January 9th? Is that right? Did I catch that correctly?
Yes, or, well, I'm not sure which one you're going to have us on, the 9th or the other one?
The 23rd.
We're having our team meeting tomorrow, so I could certainly recommend it be the second one if you'd prefer to meet prior to that discussion at council.
Yeah, I can come either time. So, you know, whatever works for you guys, I'll get going on this little presentation summary. It'll be pretty straightforward, I hope. And then I'll add our recommendation in that we're reviewing the carryover balance priorities with this year's measure or next year's Measure Q funding. And that's probably all we'll have for council. And if you want to throw in the CAFR report, that would be good to throw that all in there.
You're talking the 23rd?
No, the 9th, I think she's talking.
But did you just suggest the 23rd so we could meet first?
If you like to, we could do the 23rd. If you would rather not, we can do the 9th.
What time?
The council meetings?
Mm-hmm. About
6.
Yeah, 6. Okay. We might not go on until you can get an estimate of that, depending on when they put us on. It could be 9, but...
That's what I was wondering.
Madam Chair, would you prefer to meet on the 16th and then do the city council on the 23rd so we...
I mean,
you're doing the work on that report. So.
Yeah. You know, I don't have any preference. Here's why. It's only going to be 2 or 3 page PowerPoint. I can get it out to you guys. You can review it. I'm more concerned that we get on a council agenda night where we have 5-10 minutes, you know, mm-hmm. and if they have a million other things in there, it's midnight on the 9th versus 8:30 on the 23rd. That would be my preference. That's why I'm deferring to her.
Sure.
But thanks for asking.
You bet. Thank you for doing that work.
Well, you guys are going to help too once you see what
yeah.
I do. If you don't like it. I mean, it's straightforward, and I don't think this would be the year to change the format or anything. We don't get up there and read something. We just put a little PowerPoint together and, you know, make it high level so everybody knows. Measure Q generated $1 million, but we spent, you know, $200,000 in the fire department or whatever. So
I would just caution that we'll have to be careful of Brown Act if we're going to distribute a presentation and get comment back from the committee members so we can have a discussion about maybe the best way to do that.
Okay. So based on that, it would be the 23rd? Is that what you're saying?
No, not necessarily. Yeah. But I just, if you're looking for feedback from each of the committee members on your presentation, we just got to be cognizant of the noticing and the Brown Act on that.
So it might be better to do that at the meeting and then present on the 23rd. That's what I was suggesting.
Give us a little more time, yeah.
Yeah.
So unless the January 9th agenda looks real empty and we can get in there and get in early, let's do it on the 23rd. Thank you. But either way, email us.
Yeah, I'll let you know for sure.
Higher fish to fry in that agenda pot. So, okay, anything else or closing comments from members?
Just a welcome and thank you for the work that you've done so far and thank you to both of you for coming this afternoon.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And if you have any comments or questions or anything, in general, Jennifer has been sending to me, and then I just forward it out to all of you guys, and I do to both your personal and city. If you don't want me to use your personal, let me know. I can drop it. I don't want to cloud your email server, but I know not everybody checks their city email since this isn't your primary employment every day. So. Okay, thank you all. Thank you, public, for supporting and coming out. And this meeting will be adjourned at 4:40.